Welcome back to Now Showing. I'm Patty Holly. A popular music group returns to St. Joseph this week. The Roubidoux Resident Theater's Bravo series is bringing back Tonic Solfa. Executive Director of Roubidoux Resident Theater is Jeff Haney.
It basically is an a cappella group of four guys and a tambourine. They have sold about 2 million albums. They've just recently won 2 Emmy Awards for their television special. And when it comes to the world of a cappella music, they are really considered at least in the top 5, if not the top act in the country right now for that particular type of music.
Why did you decide to bring this group to St. Joseph?
Tonic has been here at least 3 times in the last 10 years. They've played Charles West, and then they've done the music concert, the Christmas concert at the Missouri. Oh, it's probably been 4 years ago. And so for this entire area and really the Kansas City market, they're one of the top hip groups as far as that music is concerned. And so they do have a drawing in this area, and they're based out of Minneapolis, so they're kind of good Midwestern boys.
What is it about this group, do you think, that draws the audience back to them?
I think it's first the talent. It's just really off the chart on what they can do with their voices. At times it sounds like a full band on stage with all of the sounds that they create, not only the vocals, but just the pure sounds. They have lots of comedy in the show, and so the comedy is very attractive to the audience. And they're 4 great-looking guys, and so that never hurts, you know, in bringing in the female audience either. And so I think all of that works to their advantage, and they're just super nice and easy to work with.
That was the executive director of the Roubidoux Resident Theater, Jeff Haney. He says Tonic Solfa will perform tomorrow evening at the Missouri Theater in downtown St. Joseph. Curtain time is 7:30. Ticket information is available on the Roubidoux Resident Theater website at rrtstjoe.org. West Iowa Theater Group in Shenandoah, Iowa will be bringing a popular stage production to the Park Playhouse this weekend and next weekend. Terry McIntosh is the director of Steel Magnolias.
It's the story of 6 women who are really the best of friends. One of them owns a beauty shop, and one of them is her assistant, and the other 4 are customers. The younger woman is getting married to begin with, and then we find out she's diabetic, and she becomes pregnant. During the pregnancy, she has a few complications, and she ends up getting a kidney transplant, which she does not survive.
Are these local actors in
these
roles?
They are. 5 of the women are from Shenandoah, and 1 is from Tarkio. They all have a lot of stage experience. They've been in a lot of productions for us and around the area. They're great actresses. They range in age from 30 to, I'd say, 62. 60, I better correct that before I get in trouble. I've worked with, I think, every one of them at one time or another. A couple of them, this is the first time I've directed them, but we're really having a good time putting it together.
Now, why did the Southwest Iowa Theater Group choose to go with Steel Magnolias?
Well, each year when we choose our new season, we have directors submit what they would like to do. And I directed this here in 1995, I believe it was. And I had several of the ladies in the group ask me if I might be able to do it again. And it was a fun show to do, so we decided to do it again.
What is it about this show that attracts you to it?
Well, I think everybody knows the show. If you've ever turned television on the weekend, you've probably seen Steel Magnolias, the movie. Unfortunately, we don't have Dolly Parton and Julia Roberts and Daryl Hannah and those 6 women, but the women we have, in my opinion, are just as good in their own way. So it's the story. It is something everybody can relate to, I think. We all have tragedies in our lives, and we all have good times. And I think that that's just the gist of it.
That was director of the Southwest Iowa Theater Group's production of Steel Magnolias, Terry McIntosh. He says the play will open tomorrow evening and continues next weekend. Curtain times are Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and 2 o'clock Sunday afternoons at the Park Playhouse in Shenandoah, Iowa. Tickets are available by calling 712-246-1061. Jake and Elwood Blues will be visiting St. Joseph this weekend. The St. Joseph Performing Arts Association is bringing the official Blues Brothers Review to the Missouri Theater Saturday evening. Wayne Catania plays the role of Jake Blues in the upcoming show.
It's a show of music and comedy and mayhem, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just a fun show. It has great music. It'll keep you going. We have guests. Between Jake and Elwood, we also have Arne Batson, who belts out some great tunes. She does, well, you have to come and see the show. But she's just a phenomenal singer. The band is amazing. An incredible ensemble with a horn section and whatnot. And they truly rock. I mean, they are rock solid.
For people who are not familiar with the storyline, can you tell me who Jake and Elwood are?
Well, Jake and Elwood are two guys that are actually two kids, but they just love music, and they just get into all kinds of mischief in a good way, and really they're just promoting music.
Now, is this a theatrical production? Is it a concert, or is it both?
It's a concert.
How long have the two of you been doing this together?
What time is it? we've been together, we're still not together. No, just kidding. We've been together for over 10 years.
What is it about this that keeps you doing it for that length of time?
It's the strength of the characters. You know, the movie came out back in 1980, and it's just a very strong film, and the characters are so strong. It's almost got that Elvis thing to it, you know, like Elvis is still strong today after all these years, and the Blues Brothers are very similar in that way. There are fans of all ages, really, really big, broad spectrum of a fan base.
Well, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi were the first ones to bring these two characters to life. It seems like pretty big shoes to fill. Was that intimidating, or did that present any challenges for the two of you?
Well, yes, we don't really look at it in those terms. We were fortunate enough to know Dan, and we worked with Dan, and we worked with Judy Belushi, who is John's widow, and it's more about the characters than Dan and John. It's not a case of trying to be Dan or John or anything. It's just a case of understanding the characters and then taking them in direction that they would just be going in.
What do you think the audience might enjoy most about this performance?
Oh, geez. It would be hard to narrow that. I think that there's something for everyone. I think as far as Jake and Elwood go, I think there's a little bit of Jake and Elwood in all of us. And I think that's what makes them so, lovable or funny. They're able to sing and dance, and they just have a great show that they have to see. To enjoy.
That was Wayne Catania, the actor who plays the role of Jake Blues in the upcoming production of the official Blues Brothers Review. The concert will be Saturday evening beginning at 8 o'clock in the Missouri Theater in St. Joseph. Tickets are available on the St. Joseph Performing Arts Association website at stjosephperformingarts.org. Music students will have the chance to learn from a real-life experience early next week. Professor of Music at Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. Chris Gibson, will present a faculty recital that will feature the clarinet, saxophone, and oboe. Dr. Gibson says he's chosen a variety of music to perform.
Charles Badami is going to accompany me. We're going to first do the Finzi Five Bagatelles, English composer, very tuneful, very listenable for the audience. Then we're going to play a piece by Carl Behrmann. It's a piece I've arranged for clarinet and piano from the Romantic style period, and so that's a totally different atmosphere for the audience and for me too. Then we're going to do a piece by Millot, who's a French composer, and that's originally for saxophone, but I'm going to do a movement on clarinet and a couple movements on saxophone for that. And then on oboe, I'm going to perform the Poulenc oboe sonata. And so there'll be weighted heavily French music. Dr. Badami is going to play a Piazzolla tango for one of his numbers.
So you'll be performing both clarinet and oboe at this concert?
And saxophone. That's part of my job and part of my responsibility, I think, as a teacher to perform for students. And so that's, you know, why one of the reasons why I put on the recital.
When you're choosing what pieces you'll perform in a recital like this, what goes into the thought process?
Sometimes it's, in the case of the Finzi, it's a piece that a lot of students play. And so I like to, you know, be an example, be a model for them. The Millot I haven't done before, and I've just thought this would be a good time to do this kind of thing. Also, the Poulenc is a new piece for me, and it's on oboe, and I haven't given a recital in a couple years, and I thought this would be a good, well-rounded kind of piece to put on the program.
Do you have a favorite?
Boy, that's a hard question. I enjoy playing all the instruments. That's really what my job has been for many years. So, no, I really don't. I started out clarinet and shortly thereafter the saxophone. So I, you know, feel stronger on clarinet. But, you know, like I said, I've played the other instruments as well and hopefully be equally prepared on all of them.
At the same time that you're preparing for this, you're also preparing for a concert with the St. Joseph Symphony, plus teaching your classes. How do you balance all of that? How do you find time to rehearse for everything that you have to rehearse for?
One step at a time, one event at a time. I'm really not looking way in the future. I've just kind of got a class schedule and have some things happening at home and the St. Joseph Symphony rehearsal and just kind of keep the schedule in front of me and work from there. So, and trying to develop myself as a professional musician as well, you know, trying to keep sharp and keep practicing.
That was Professor of Music at Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. Chris Gibson. His faculty recital is open to the public and will be Monday beginning at 8 o'clock. It'll be in the Olive Deluce Fine Arts Building's Charles Johnson Theater on the Northwest Campus in Maryville.
Thank you. Last week, we talked about Drive, a taut, dark, excellently produced thriller. This week, it's two more thrillers, Killer Elite and Abduction, and they are, not so much. They range from ordinary, as in Killer Elite, to amusingly awful in Abduction. Killer Elite has buffed out and follically challenged Jason Stratham as Danny, a British Secret Service assassin. The opening sequence shows him at work with his mentor, Hunter, Robert De Niro here, as they bump off some bad guys. Then, Danny wants to retire, and he does, to a farm in Australia where he's rebuilding a house. He meets Anne, a pretty neighbor. Love blooms. But a nasty Middle Eastern sheik kidnaps Hunter and tells Danny he has to come out of retirement to kill three British agents who killed his three sons. Otherwise, Hunter will bite the dust, or sand in this case. Well, you can pretty much guess the rest of it. He recruits some other former spooks to help and starts hunting the men who killed the sheik's sons. And he starts getting them. But he alerts a rogue group of former British SAS operatives who have organized to do black ops on their own. And they're hunting Danny, while he's hunting their friends. So the predators become prey, and pretty soon the prey are predators, and so on back and forth. And so it goes in predictable fashion. We surely guess that Anne will have to be rescued at some point. There are long, too long, fight scenes between our hero and the evil Spike, the front man for the undercover rogue former agents, played here by Clive Owen. Killer Elite advertises itself as being, quote, based on true events, and it comes from passages in a supposedly true account in a book originally titled Featherman by Randolph Finnis. His description of true events has often been challenged, and the film twists even his supposedly overblown events, keeping at least the sheik and the rogue former SAS group, while throwing in a lot of paranoia. Stratham's performance is what it always is, a super tough guy, which would seem to be the extent of his range. Clive Owen, though, is a convincing evildoer, conflicted a bit by his realization he's been played. Robert De Niro is getting a bit agey at 67 to be playing fight scenes, but he's always a star. Abduction is one of those movies that I classify a guilty pleasure. It's so unintentionally funny and bad that it's sort of entertaining and maybe a little endearing. For one thing, so far as I could see, there was no abduction, just a series of chases. It's littered with the cliches of both teen film and tough guy movies. Nathan, played by Taylor Lautner, the werewolf boy from Twilight, is a high school senior. The opening scene has him getting drunk at a party and waking up mostly naked in the lawn of the party house. Boys will be boys, right? Then we find he's an ace on the wrestling team and that his father drills him in boxing and martial arts, pretty brutally, actually. He's long suspected that his parents aren't his true mother and father. He says, "Sometimes I feel like a freak, just made up my own name. I'm someone else," he says. Generations of teenagers have experienced the same feeling, and it's a staple in film and fiction. And in movies, this cliche usually turns out to be true. He finds himself on a missing child internet site. We learn that his supposed parents raised him after his real mother, a CIA operative, was assassinated. Flashbacks show him hiding when she was killed, and he looks to be about 6 years old. He didn't remember. Anyway, unbeknownst to him, the CIA has hidden him away with his surrogate mother and father, also CIA operatives, to keep him from being kidnapped by bad guys. Just who would have wanted him all those years, never explained. But here, 10 years later, some evildoers are after him to use as a blackmail chit to get information from his rogue CIA father, absent through Nathan's life, who has something both sides want. So Nathan's on the run with the pretty girl next door, Karen, who accidentally knows too much. Surprise! Long simmering puppy love explodes. Both the bad guys and the CIA want them. So it's more cliches down the line, the final one being a boy finding his father and gaining his approval. Lautner and Lily Collins, who plays Karen, are so cute, you want to reach out and pat them on the head and maybe tell them it's going to be okay. That might be okay for teen films, but not thrillers. Lautner gets his shirt off often enough to please the teen girls in the audience, but he shouldn't quit his day job as werewolf. A redeeming feature of Abduction is the appearance in a few scenes of Sigourney Weaver, she of the Alien movies. She's always great. Those who like tough guy thrillers will probably like Killer Elite okay. And for this audience, it is more or less okay. Abduction will please teenagers, who see many of the cliches as just truth, as well as those who get some laughs from a guilty pleasure. I'll give Killer Elite 2.5 stars out of 5, and 1.5 stars for Abduction. If you want an engrossing, edge-of-your-seat thriller, try Drive.
That was KXCV KRNW movie reviewer Dr. Carol Fry. You can find information and links to the events and organizations you hear about on Now Showing on the KXCV KRNW website, kxcv.org. You can also listen to archived editions of the program by clicking on the Now Showing link on our homepage. Please join us again next Thursday for another edition of Now Showing. In the meantime, have a great weekend. For KXCV KRNW, I'm Patty Hawley.